It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the book of Malachi, Malachi chapter 1, and we're going to begin reading with the 6th verse again. We've read that several times, read to the end of the chapter, but there's so much in there, we kind of have to build up to it. And so please that you'd open your Bibles to Malachi chapter 1, verse 6. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to call us, 217-847-2717. If you'd like to visit our website, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. If you would like to send us an email, parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. Malachi chapter 1, verse 6. A son honoreth his father, a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name. And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar. And ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? If ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? And now I pray you, beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. This hath been by your means. Will he regard your person, saith the Lord of hosts? Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do ye kindle fire on mine altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts, neither will I accept an offering at your hand. For from the rising of the sun, even to the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye have profaned it, in that ye say, the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. Ye said also, behold, what a weariness it is, and ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. And ye brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick. Thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male, and voweth and sacrificeth unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. Now we're going to end the reading there, and please that we go to the Lord in prayer and then start this wonderful study. Father, we thank and praise you that we can come into your house, enjoy this precious time together. We just ask, dear Father, that you would guide and lead us through your precious word. I thank you that you have given us this word, this inspired word that's penned by you. And yes, you've used a man to do it, but it's your words. And Father, we thank and praise you for all that you've blessed us with. Now please guide and lead us each and every day, dear Lord, and direct us through your word today that we may fully and completely understand it. And I know, Father, that the only time that's going to happen is the day that we're in your presence. And so help us continue each day to learn and to grow. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at these verses of Scripture, and we find a terrible thing going on in the house of God, and that is that the Lord is being thought of as something secondary, as someone that is not important, And that is exactly the way the priests are treating our God. And worse than that, it's not only that that's the way that the priests were treating their God, by them allowing and accepting something that is inferior, that's sick, that's not perfect as could be here on earth. By accepting that, there's a serious problem, and that serious problem is that we no longer, God's not important. And I'm so sad to say that today it's the same. Many people do not attend church, period. They don't even go. Many people that do attend, they come to have their ears tickled a little bit and their fancy satisfied some, and they leave feeling good, but it's not of the Spirit of God. The only way that the Spirit of God can be present is if we search the Word of God, surrender to His will, listen to Him. And then He will deal with us. And there'll be times that you'll leave a church service and you don't feel so good because the Spirit of God has dealt with your heart, wants you to go do something for Him, wants you to serve Him, or wants you to stop doing something. First of all, we know that He wants you to be saved, to be born again. But the priests here, they have gotten to the place where, whether it's someone with a title or whether it's someone with a lot of money, and all of a sudden they have a respect of persons, and God is no respecter of persons. But we become respecter of persons, so we pay attention to someone that maybe is wealthy versus someone that is poor. We pay more attention to someone that is well-dressed versus someone that doesn't have the money to be well-dressed, and yet they're clean, everything is fine, but we still pay very little attention to them. We are a respecter of persons, and we should not be. We should be as our God, and that is not a respecter of persons. He doesn't care whether you're a king or whether you're a servant or slave. He wants you to surrender to Him and serve Him and praise Him rightfully, and that is giving Him His due. And what happens here is that they are not doing that. And as we look at the upper verses there at verse 8, if He offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? It is supposed to be a perfect sacrifice. And we have looked at those verses of Scripture, and it's very important as we enjoy looking at God's precious Word that we will understand what God expects. And it's so sad because many times we do not understand, we do not realize who God is. God is the Creator of the world. He is the Savior. Our Lord Jesus is the Savior of the world. He is everything, and we should give everything to Him. And not in any way should we pull ourselves back and not serve Him and give Him to the best of our ability. And yet we give Him our leftovers. We tend to do that on a very regular basis. We give Him our regulars, and we our normal, our leftovers, and that's so sad. And we need to walk each day and look each day at our Lord Jesus, serve Him each and every day, and give Him our best. And so please that you would do that, that you would be prepared to serve the Lord. Here, if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is that not evil? God, He has directed them on what they are to be giving, the way they're to give it, and yet we find here that they are not bringing the perfect sacrifice that they should be giving. They are giving the leftovers. They would rather they have a lame animal that somebody's not going to pay top price for. We'll give that to the Lord. It's kind of the same way with us. If we don't have time, if we don't realize how important it is to serve the Lord, we give him our leftovers. You know, we wait and maybe read the Word of God, or maybe spend a little time in prayer after everything else is done. We should do it first, and we should honor our God and praise our God, because he is our Creator and our Savior, and we need to look to the Lord Jesus Christ for our power and our strength. Again, first, you must come by faith to the Lord Jesus and be born again. Most folks today do not trust in the Lord Jesus. They do not. They go to church, but they do not accept salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. We've talked about that these people here have been back in their land for about 100 years. So it's kind of, you know, normal, nothing special. And that's what happens so often today. Everything is done haphazardly. And that's the way people treat the church, coming to church, serving the Lord. It is all on a haphazard basis. And so please that you would look to the Lord Jesus, trust in him, walk with him each and every day, serve him, put him first. That's something the priests have stopped doing. And that's something that also, not only have the priests stopped doing that, but also then, of course, the people. If the priests do not hold with their position and their power, then why in the world would I want to go ahead and take my time and do the same? And so we're going to go back to Leviticus chapter 22, and I've spent a lot of time talking about the importance for us to be and put him first, our God first. But look what Leviticus 22, 20 through 23 says. That's Leviticus 22, 20 through 23. But whatsoever hath a blemish, that shall ye not offer. Now, what did we read here? If ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? Okay, let's go again. For it shall not be acceptable for you. And whosoever offereth a sacrifice of peace offering unto the Lord to accomplish his vow, or a freewill offering in beeves or sheep, it shall be perfect to be accepted. There shall be no blemish therein. Blind or broken, maimed or having wane or scurvy or scabbed, ye shall not offer these unto the Lord, nor make an offering by fire of them up on the altar unto the Lord. Neither a bullock or a lamb that hath anything superficious, or, forgive me for the word, and lacking in his parts, that mayest thou offer for a free offering, but for a vow it shall not be accepted. Now, we need to understand God expects our best. And the people were bringing leftovers, something that nobody else wanted. And so, as that was taking place, God is dealing through Malachi with the people, and he's dealing first with the leadership, with the priests. Why are you accepting this? And it continues down here, and it says, offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person? And of course, we know the answer is no. No. And the sad thing is that that's what we're doing today. We're playing church. We're not serious. We're not seeking the will of God. We're coming to be entertained. And if you want the blessings of God, that's got to stop. If you're doing something because you're trying to work your way into God's grace and God's heaven, you're wasting your time. It is by grace that you're saved. Come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ today and be born again. Look at verse 9. And now I pray you, beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. This hath been by your means, Will he regard your person, saith the Lord of hosts? And what that verse 9 is saying is, it's telling us very simply and very clearly, and that is that if you would turn unto the Lord, if you would turn unto the Lord, then he will forgive you. But you have got to surrender to him. And that's what I'm pleading with you today. Stop playing church. If you've been duped into going to these places where you sit there and watch the screen and you get the fancy music is played and you get a little bit of a message and off you go, I feel better now. Well, man cannot repair the heart. Man cannot give you the love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance that God can give you. But that has to come by you surrendering to him. Give him your best. Give him your first. Don't give him leftovers. Don't give him what somebody else doesn't want. God doesn't want that. And it's very clear here. But he is telling these folks, I pray you, beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. Malachi is pleading with these people. Will you please straighten up? You wonder why that our nation has had such difficult time. Well, you look at what has been permitted with the homosexual situation, with the same-sex marriage, with the abortion that killing these millions of babies. How can God bless this nation? We need to stand up for the Word of God and stand true to it. Stop letting the few that are out there that are atheists and agnostics and the folks of the day that do not want the truth. They want to destroy the church. They want to destroy this country. And we need to stand up for our God, and in turn then would be standing up and allowing this nation to be blessed. And we need to see that this nation is blessed. But the priests were so liberal, they were so doing their own thing, following after traditions. They were not doing what God expected them to do. They were not following the will of God. And so we find down here in verse 10, who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do ye kindle a fire on mine altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts, neither will I accept an offering at your hand. That's kind of a strange thing, because the beginning of verse 10 there is basically saying, I would that, you know, the work that you do, you're paid to do. You're paid very handsomely to do the work of God. And who is there even among you that would shut the doors? I would that one would among you would shut the doors of the temple, that no more vain fire should kindle on mine fire is a different side to it. But it is two things. Number one, they are being paid to do it. Now, they're being paid and all their needs are met, plus. So God is expecting them to do it correctly, to do it right. And also then, the question, the other side of that is it would be better that the doors would be shut on the temple, because what you're bringing in is not something that God approves of. God does not approve of what you're doing and the way you're doing it. It would be better that no one would ever enter in than to do it the way you're doing it. I have no pleasure in you, the middle of verse 10 says. I'm afraid that would be the statement with many, many churches today. God would say, I have no pleasure in you. because you're not preaching the word, you're preaching a social gospel. You're not even telling people every time you get together, you're not even telling people how to be saved. You're not telling them you must be born again. You're telling them that you need to trust in the Lord Jesus and be baptized, or you're telling them that you need to be baptized as an infant and then you need to follow the direction of this denomination and then you're okay. That's a lie. You must be born again. You must come by faith to Jesus, and that's something that you make a decision when you come to the age of accountability. Now, how old that is, I don't know. It's to some it's very young, to some it's older. But when you come to that age that you're responsible, then you need to come by faith to the Lord Jesus, ask Him to come into your heart, ask Him to save you because you recognize you're a lost, rotten, filthy sinner. You get to that place that you see yourself as a rotten sinner, then you get on your knees and you ask Jesus to save you. And He will. And He will keep you. And that's the end of it. You're saved. You're born again. Now, from that time on, there's work to be done. There's service. There's things to be done. But that's got nothing to do with your salvation. You are saved forever. I have received in past many years ago a letter of excommunication, and that letter of excommunication said that if you don't follow the church rules and regulations, then you're going to hell. Now that is contrary to the Word of God. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's got nothing to do with a certain denomination. Now what happened was I got saved. I left that church. You may need to do the same. Is your church dead? Is your church just a social gospel? And you don't hear the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus? And you must trust in Him. Ask the Lord Jesus to show you who you are. If the Spirit of God will show you who you are, then He will also show you to the Savior, the Lord Jesus, and you can be born again. I plead with you that you do that. That you ask the Lord Jesus to come into your heart. Look at verse 11. For from the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. Malachi is talking to the Jews. But what is he saying there? He's saying, the Lord's opening the door to the Gentiles because of who you are. Israel's going to be set aside. Israel's going to be set behind. He can be put back. When he's put back, when Israel is put back, the Gentiles come. That's the church age. That's where we're at right now. And right here in this scripture, for from the rising of the sun even to the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. Many folks have been born again. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name. A pure offering for my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. Now this was really contrary to what the Israel, the Jews, the God is our God and none other. If you become a proselyte, you come and you accept all the Jewish rules and regulations, and then, okay, now you're fine. And God is saying through the prophet Malachi, that's not right. I'm going to pour out my Spirit upon the Gentiles, upon the heathen, and that would be us. What a wonderful day it was, the day that God poured out His presence, the day of Pentecost. And as we begin to add to the church every day as people decide to come by faith to Jesus, don't be duped by all these cults and these religions and these denominations that are out there that do not preach the gospel first and foremost. And then once you come by faith to Jesus, then you're saved and you're saved forever, never to lose your salvation. Now, that's a doctrine that's taught very, very seldom, but it is a doctrine that the Word of God clearly tells us. Verse 12, but ye have profaned it, in that ye say, the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. And ye say, behold, what a weariness it is. when you come to church, when you come into the house of God, are you excited to be there? Are you excited to teach the Word of God? Are you excited to talk to people about the Word of God? Or is it just something that you do because you're supposed to do it? Your parents did it, your grandparents did it, and so I go and I do it, but I don't really know why. I don't know why I do it, but I do. Many people are to that place. Behold, what a weariness it is. It is not a weariness to praise the Lord. How's your preacher feel when he stands in that pulpit in Sunday morning and prayerfully, hopefully, you have a study on Sunday night, on Wednesday night? Please, that you open your doors and people come, and they desire to come to hear the Word of God, and they come with open minds and with a heart that is just so desirous to learn and to know more about the Lord Jesus and coming. How can I serve? What can I do? Instead of that, most folks come, and they're just tired. They've done all their playing. They've done all their work, and now they come and just come into the house of God. They're tired. They don't want to serve. They don't want to praise the Lord. They really don't know why they're even there. They don't bring their best, their offering. We're to bring our tithes and offerings, which, again, we're not under the law, but God has said it before us that we bring a tithe, 10%, plus an offering. Now, that is in your time and in your monies, in your abilities. How much would the church be growing and flourishing if folks would use their talents that are God-given? Instead of that, we use what we have to do other things, to play games, to do everything except for what is important when it comes to the house of God and comes to the service of our God. These priests, they felt like most people. You come, but you kind of come grudgingly. The people serve. The priests were serving grudgingly. The duty of their office was just too much for them. How can I do this? This is just such a burden to me. Now, when we serve the Lord, when we praise His precious name, when we walk each day serving Him, what a joy it should be. And it will be if you surrender to Jesus for your salvation. Let Him convict your heart. You say, please show me who I am, and He will show you this awful wicked person that you are, the awful wicked person that I was before I was saved. Now I'm born again. I'm still a filthy sinner, but I'm saved by grace. I'm a saved sinner. Oh, what a wonderful God knew who He bought and paid for when He got me, and He knew He wasn't going to get much, and He didn't. But He still paid the ultimate price, His precious shed blood and His life upon the cross. He gave that for me so that my sins can be forgiven, so I can be set free. What a wonderful day it is to be born again. But what happens is when we start not preaching the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection, and we start making rules and regulations, you need to attend here, you need to do this, you need to do that in order to please God. What's going to please God is for you to come by faith to Him and be born again. Then, and only then, will you begin to understand the Word of God and realize you are not bound by the law. We are bound by grace. And grace is an opportunity that gives us the power and the strength to live each day and have victory over sin. Until you're born again, that victory is not of yours to have. So the work that they were bringing, the sacrifices at the time in the Old Testament they were bringing were so they were polluted. They were of fault. They were so far from being perfect, and it was just leftovers. I'm not going to give this good bull to be sacrificed, this good lamb. I need that good lamb. God wants us to praise him and honor him and give him our best. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?